AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
From the unexplained to the mundane, come join us on a journey to the fringe.
Hello and welcome to Journey to the Fringe, following the traditional podcast formula of hosts speaking words to you, the listener. We are your podcast wording hosts, Taylor and Chelsea, here today doing a Chelsea episode. So that's about where I can get to. We'll see if this has anything to do with her episode. I think it will, just because I think she's going to follow this formula. She's done it pretty much every time in the past, so it's a winning formula.
Before we even started this podcast and we were brainstorming about ideas for a podcast, that was one of the first we had.
It was pretty key.
It was the main idea we kept after all the brainstorming. We thought that would work the best for everybody. And here we are.
Yeah, interpretive dance came off that list really fast.
Real fast. We do still only look at pictures, and that was also on the list. So, yeah, it's all on the formula. We're making it work. You're here, aren't you? So today, I felt the need to... I always feel compelled to do an episode. Today, compulsion was the paranormal side of sleep, with very specific criteria.
Ah, I am very curious what the specific criteria is, because I feel like this could go many different ways.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't have one particular thing in mind.
I think you might be doing astral projection.
No!
How?
I'm surprised that's what you went with. Okay.
I also... Yeah, it could be sleeping abductions, because that's like a specific offshoot of abduction cases is sleeping.
Wrong again.
I know.
But now you're giving us so many ideas for other episodes.
People dying in their sleep. There's that whole idea of you sleep, die in your dreams, you die in real life, which will be an interesting episode to do on its own.
You're doing this on purpose now.
Yeah.
You know what?
I could keep going, but I think you should just tell me the episode.
So specifically, the paranormal side of sleep that I'm doing today is delving into the world of the old hag, which is also a world that I don't ever want to be a part of. So if she's listening right now, she can fuck off.
Please.
Yes, I'm sure I speak for everyone. The old hag being a phenomenon in which a sleeper, I think we're all familiar with sleep for the most part.
Chelsea, for those who have not experienced this, can you describe it to them?
Sleep. That's when you get really tired and you need to lay down and you close your eyes and you're just kind of like unconscious for a little bit.
And then you wake older up you hopefully get, feeling more refreshed. Yeah, the older you get, the more excited you are about the process.
Oh yeah. Starts out rough for a while, but it becomes way more enjoyable. The old hag, on the other hand, that is when a sleeper feels the presence of they awake. And they'll feel a presence, a supernatural presence. Maybe you don't feel it supernatural, but you feel something in the room with you. And it could just be generally the overwhelming sense of fear, but generally people will see something in the room with them, whether it be a shadow person, an old hag, an old ugly witch type lady, malevolent being, which immobilizes the person as if paralyzed. So generally they can only move their eyes, and it's in the room with them, either sitting on their chest in the corner at the foot of their bed. Probably feels like an eternity for the person that it's happening to, but I don't know, generally probably lasts a couple minutes. In my research, little did I know when I started, the term that I'm using is actually very specific to our part of the world.
Yeah, and from what I understand about old hag is it's a fairly international phenomenon as well.
It is, and we're going to talk about that. We're going to get fairly specific about it, but in calling it the old hag, This, in our part of the world, originates in Newfoundland in Canada, which is interesting to me. Also, some other fairly unrelated places that I wouldn't think of being connected to Newfoundland, just South Carolina and Georgia in the United States. I think it's pretty common in the United States as well to call it the Old Hague Phenomenon, in which they describe a negative figure of a hag who leaves her physical body at night and sits on the chest of her victim. The victim usually wakes with a feeling of terror, has difficulty breathing because of a perceived heavy, invisible weight on his or her chest, and is unable to move, i.e. experiences in sleep paralysis. And you're not always necessarily going to see the difficulty breathing, but it is a common feature as well in experiencers. And at this point, because of the word hague, I got curious about that, which in European folklore is an ugly and malicious old woman who practices witchcraft with or without supernatural powers. Hags are often said to be aligned with the dead or the devil, and sometimes appearing in the form of a beautiful woman. A succubus is a hag believed to engage in sexual intercourse with men, causing severe nightmares and leaving the victim exhausted.
Oh, I thought succubus were at least supposed to be attractive.
Yeah, it's said beautiful woman.
The hags aren't beautiful, though.
So, no, I don't get the connection there, but I got this in a definition of hag, so I don't get the connection either, if I was to be honest with you.
And they sound like different beings entirely.
I wonder what would connect it to hag, because a succubus
is just a female
entity.
Yeah, just a female practicer of witchcraft, I guess.
Yeah, and although viewed in most lores as the antithesis of fertility, the hag is believed by some scholars to be a remnant of primitive nature goddess. Anyhow, the hag is not specific to sleep necessarily, but with the help of those very loosely connected locations in North America, it so became connected. And going back to the old hag, she is described as witch-like, wrinkled, withered old woman with long hair. She can appear in doorways next to the bed, even crawl on top of people. They see her crawling up your body that you can't move, sit on them, pin them down. She also appears as a shadow person. Shadow people can get connected to this, but I would say myself, in my professional opinion, is that it's a total different entity and phenomenon than shadow people, but they do get connected. And the legend is so pervasive that locals have turned to using her name as a verb to describe their experience. Quote, I was hagged last night. Another quote, the hagging happened two nights ago. Or, I got hag ridden.
I have never heard those ever. And
neither
I feel like it's one person who could use that and nobody would understand what they're saying. Are they just trying to make this like a thing?
They might be. I don't know how popular they're saying that, like implying that it is, when people are like, oh my god, you too. I don't know that many people personally that could actually say that, that anyone would understand what they were saying to be able to use it in such a, you know, sentence like that.
Yeah, common parlance. Yeah.
So people thought they could summon the hag by reciting the Lord's Prayer backwards and kill her by sleeping on their backs with knives or boards with upright nails against their chest designed to stab her when she sits on them.
Huh.
Yeah.
That sounds awful.
I know, it does. I would have a bad sleep. One victim of the hag even accused another person in the community of hagging him, which is summoning the hag to haunt a third party out of jealousy. That is witchcraft. That sounds like that would be. For the people in Newfoundland, the hag exists outside the realm of fairies and goblins. It is real and a present danger that people experience. That's the general idea of the old hag. Does it kind of make sense to you, Taylor? Is there anything you want clarification on?
I would just be curious. Do people who experience the old hag, do they say their sleep sucks?
That's a good question. I probably wouldn't say that it was a good sleep if that happened to me.
But we don't have any like comments from people where they say specifically it's like, and I felt like I didn't sleep at all that night or something like that.
No.
Okay.
I haven't heard that in the person that I know that it's happened to as well. And I didn't think to ask about how their sleep was that night. Did you feel rested though?
Yeah, because like odds are you're probably not going to feel rested.
Yeah.
But that would be really weird if you're like, and that was the best sleep I've ever had.
Yeah. So anyhow, I was so rested.
Next time she shows up, I'm going to stab her.
I haven't seen a comment either way, to be honest. Okay, so now I'm going to jump into what science says is going on. Science says that old hag syndrome is sleep paralysis. That's all it is. Nothing to be worried about. And your body undergoes several cycles as you sleep. Best known of these cycles is called REM sleep, which is rapid eye movement. During REM sleep, you're likely to be dreaming. That's where the dreams happen. And to prevent you from acting out your dreams, your brain releases neurotransmitters that lock down some of your skeletal muscle groups. Paralysis sometimes prevents you from speaking or calling out and, you know, acting out your dreams as you're trying to, like, punch someone and it doesn't land because you punch so weak in dreams when you want to punch someone. It's a problem.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that you're acting that out in your sleep, too? I don't think my sleep paralysis actually, is very good because I'm a sleepwalker.
That's called sleepwalking. Yes.
Yeah.
And it's when your body does not release that
as
well as it should.
Thank God. I'm sure everyone who's ever slept around me does not thank God. So as REM sleep wanes, your brain reactivates your muscles. Sometimes, though, the timing of wake-sleep cycles doesn't synchronize properly. In the space between waking and sleeping, your mind becomes alert while your body still can't move. Some of the visual and auditory elements of your dreams may still be playing out, hence the hallucinations.
So I think you could, in fact, call this the exact opposite of sleepwalking, then, where the thing that malfunctioned is you're unable to move your body in sleepwalking. This is the exact opposite, whereas everything's worked perfectly, except you have woken up and everything is still happening.
Probably a disorder, maybe. Probably.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's not going to impact your health, so it's not that huge at the end of the day, but yeah.
Might. What if the old hag gets you?
No, that's why you get the knives
in
the board.
What if anyone's ever gotten by it? Yes. You gotta sleep with the nails face.
Why didn't they try that with Freddy Krueger?
That's such a good point. Yeah, I didn't even think about that watching Freddy Krueger. It's the people dealing with the fucking hag that thought about it. So, what are the symptoms of sleep paralysis? Researchers have found that sleep paralysis can include a number of common symptoms, which include the inability to move, speak, or breathe properly, hypnagogic hallucinations or visions that happen while you're falling asleep, hypnopompic hallucinations or visions that happen when you're waking up, auditory hallucinations or imagining sounds, olfactory hallucinations and imagining cells, a sense of heaviness or pressure on your chest, feeling of being watched or touched, sometimes in a threatening or sexual manner, and fear. Personally, after reading that, I think there's something more at play here, but I think we'll get into that a little more towards the end. There are other paranormal creatures exactly like this, same thing all over the world. So let's jump on our air balloon and take a trip around the world of just a few that I've put together, and there are far too many to include in this one episode, so I just picked some that are pretty good. Not that they're not all good. In Scandinavian folklore, sleep paralysis is caused by a mare, which is a supernatural creature related to incubi and succubi. The mare is a damned woman who is cursed, and her body is carried mysteriously during sleep and without her noticing. In this state, she visits villagers to sit on their rib cages while they are asleep, causing them to experience nightmares. The Swedish film Marianne examines the folklore surrounding sleep paralysis.
Yeah, and in fact, that's where we derive the term nightmare from.
Yes, that would be a good point. Thank you for saying that. I meant to.
You kind of did. It just wasn't directly stated.
Yeah. I meant to say that, but then I didn't. In Fiji, the experience is interpreted as Kana Tivoro. You're going to have some good words that I'm going to say in their exact pronunciation coming up. And that's just an explicit content warning. So Kana Tivoro being eaten by a demon. In many cases, the demon can be the spirit of a recently dead relative who has come back for some unfinished business or has come to communicate some important news to the living. Often persons sleeping near hear the afflicted person say, "Kania, eat, eat," in an attempt to prolong the possession for a chance to converse with the dead relative or spirit and seek answers as to why he or she has come back. The person waking up from the experience is often asked to immediately curse or chase the spirit of the dead relative, which sometimes involves literally speaking to the spirit and telling him or her to go away or using expletives.
Wait, no, seriously? You have to say, "Hey, spirit, go fuck yourself."
Yeah, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. I guess, yeah, you gotta be intimidating.
You gotta.
Keep the spirit out.
You gotta be intimidating, you gotta be aggressive. You gotta use those words. In Albanian folk beliefs, Makthi is believed to be a male spirit with a golden fez hat who appears to women who are usually tired or suffering and stops them from moving. It is believed that if they can take his golden hat, he will grant them a wish, but then he will visit them frequently, although he is harmless. There are talismans that can provide protection from Makthi, and one way is to put one's husband's hat near the pillow while sleeping.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Makthi or Makthi in Albanian means nightmare. In Nigeria, ISP appears to be far more common and recurrent among people of African descent than among whites or Nigerian Africans. ISP. I mean, I get SP, sleep paralysis, and is often referred to within African communities as the devil on your back and is called now by the Hausa people. That's an interesting point. In Turkey, sleep paralysis is called karabasan and is similar to other stories of demonic visitation during sleep. A supernatural being, commonly known as the jinn, comes to the victim's room, holds him or her down hard enough to not allow any kind of movement, and starts to strangle the person. To get rid of the demonic creature, one needs to pray to Allah by reading Al-Falaq. Is that what it is? And Al-Nas from the Quran. In some derivatives of the story, the jinn has a wide hat, and if the person can show the courage and take its hat, the jinn becomes his slave.
That's the first time in a while, actually, jinn have come up on the podcast. It's funny, because it seems like in Middle Eastern cultures, pretty much all of them just explain everything as jinn.
They do, yeah. The jinn are really interesting.
They are.
That one had a bit of multiple crossovers, because the jinn also had a hat. Is a point I've never heard.
Yeah, it's funny. We used to bring up jinn a lot more in like seasons 1 and 2. It feels like it's been a long time since they've come up.
It has, yeah. No, this is the first mention of a jinn in a while.
I still don't think we'll do its own episode in a long time.
No, there's too many good episodes out there on the
Hidden Jinn's a really good podcast on that.
It is. We covered it really well. In Thailand, Cambodia, and Laos, it is believed that sleep paralysis and discomfort is caused by a ghost of the Thai folklore known as Piam. And then here they have it in Thai script, which...
Oh man, that's an adventure right there.
Yeah, it looks beautiful. Some people claim that the spirit may even cause bruises. Stories about the spirit are common in Thai comics. It is described as an event in which the person is sleeping and dreams that one or more ghostly figures are nearby or even holding him or her down. The sufferer is unable to move or make any noises. This is not to be confused with Pi Kao or Kmut Jewel, which is ghost possession. Of course we would never.
Man, I really want to learn about the Pi Kao.
Yeah.
It's a good name.
I know. That's exactly what it is, too.
It's a cow peeing?
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting.
In Eastern Chinese folklore, it is thought that a mouse can steal human breath at night. Human breath strengthens the mouse, allowing it longevity and the ability to...
But you're saying mouse?
Yeah, I said mouse.
Like Mickey this Mouse?
Is,
okay.
Yeah, this is English, so I am reading it correctly and hopefully pronouncing it correctly. Human breath strengthens the mouse, allowing it longevity and the ability to briefly become human at night. In a similar fashion to fox spirits, the mouse sits near the person's face or under their nostrils. In Chinese culture, sleep paralysis is widely known as pinyin wei ye shen, or... Oh, no, pinyin means something.
No, pinyin is what... It's just the name of the English version, the romanized alphabet Chinese.
Okay, I noticed that that was probably not something I needed to read because it says it after every Chinese character thing. When
that's just the pinyin. So that's those words written in English.
I learned something new. Or guiyachuang. Chuang, which literally translates into ghost pressing on body or ghost pressing on bed.
Huh, so they came up with the same kind of term.
Yeah, a more modern term is mengyan, and you can bet that is not pronounced right. I'm sorry about that one. I will fully admit it. Maybe for legal
purposes,
I should.
We're trying to go after the Chinese market so hard. Why?
Yes, we are. So for legal purposes, I cannot admit that that is not correct. That was nice of me to pronounce it so nicely. In Japanese culture, sleep paralysis is referred to as kanashibari, literally bound or fastened in metal. This term is occasionally used by English-speaking authors to refer to the phenomenon both in academic papers and in pop psych literature. That was a weird one. In Korean culture, sleep paralysis is called gawi nilim, literally being pressed down by something scary in a dream. I like that one. Huh. I love
Korean's
that
such a beautiful language.
Yeah. It's so concise.
Korea has the best demons too. Like there's a fan demon, because if you keep your fan on at night, it will kill you because there's a demon in it.
I do like that. I love that there's inanimate objects in Asia that just like have souls.
Yeah.
And do things.
And mice, they're just stealing your breath. Which also, just if we can go back to that for a second, I'm wondering if that has anything to do with the carbon monoxide poisoning, in that if something can't breathe, it will go up higher from carbon monoxide poisoning. If it might be that like there was a mouse on them that was trying to escape it, and that's where that comes from.
It's an interesting way to take that. Could be. Why did you go to carbon monoxide poisoning?
Because that's how you die in your sleep. It like it takes your breath.
So you can't breathe. Okay, you're right. Yeah. Right. It's not because you're at the bottom of the ocean, because we just found out there's oxygen there.
There's lots of oxygen.
Tons of it.
Yeah. Until the miners get there.
Yes. They didn't have to deal with it at this time, though, because this is a new phenomenon to the miners. Okay, Korean. It is often associated with the belief that a ghost or spirit is lying on top of or pressing down on the sufferer. In Mongolian culture, nightmares as general as well as sleep paralysis is referred to by the verb phrase kardarak, meaning to be pressed by the black or when the dark presses. Kara means black and may refer to the dark side personified. Karen Bu means shaman of the black. Shamans of the dark side only survive in far northern Mongolia. Interesting. That sounds like an episode.
It does. It also sounds like The Hague, does it not?
Yeah, like what?
You might have to look into that.
We're going to have to look into that. Not on this episode, though. While Tsagan Dzugin Bu means shaman of the white direction, referring to shamans who only invoke benevolent spirits, compare Karabasan, the dark presser in Turkish, which may date from pre-Islamic times when the Turks had the same religion and mythology of the Mongols. I need to look into this more. That sounded so interesting. It sounds like they're actually talking about shamans, though.
Yeah.
Why did they only survive in far north?
That is a really interesting part of it.
Yeah. Okay, let's take a look into that.
See if we can turn it into a whole episode.
Yeah. In Tibetan culture, sleep paralysis is often known as dipnon. Oh, I like that one. Or dip fuck, which translates roughly as oppressed, struck by dip. Dip, literally meaning shadow, refers to a kind of spiritual pollution. I like the Tibetan one too. Dip fuck. Is there any culture that I didn't mention that you would be interested in?
I don't think we've had any South American.
Let's see if we can. We have Africa, Europe, Americas. No, I don't think I have South America on here.
Okay. Do you have any indigenous then?
I don't. No, I have a few more things to say about North America, but let me just see what I have in here. In Pakistan, sleep paralysis is considered an encounter with shaitan, evil jinns or demons who have taken over one's body. This school is known as Baktak. It also assumed that it's caused by black magic performed by enemies and jealous people. People, especially children and young girls, wear to ward off evil eye. Spells, incantations, and curses could also result in ghouls haunting a person. Some homes and places are also believed to be haunted by evil ghosts, satanic, or other supernatural beings, and they could haunt people living there, especially during the night. Muslim holy persons, imams, sufis, mullahs, fakirs, perform exorcism on individuals who are believed to be possessed. The homes, houses, buildings, and grounds are blessed and consecrated by mullahs or imams by reciting Quran and Adhan, the Islamic call to prayer recited by the muezzin. Basically, it has a bunch of Middle Eastern, Western, and Central Asia. They basically all believe it's the jinn. They just call it all different things. Same with a lot of African countries. Well, Islam, a lot of it's the jinn. We covered a lot of Europe. In Scottish Gaelic culture, sleep paralysis is called tromlaid, heavy lying. And this term has become the general term for nightmare in the modern language. In Latvian folk culture, sleep paralysis is called a torture or strangling by Lietuvians. It's thought to be a soul of a killed, which is a strangled, drowned, or hung person, and attacks both people and domestic animals. When under attack, one must move the toe on the left foot to get rid of the attacker. And just circling back to the Americas where we are, just some interesting facts. During the Salem witch trials, several people reported night attacks by various alleged witches, including Bridget Bishop, that may have been caused by sleep paralysis. In Mexico, it's believed that it's caused by the spirit of a dead person. This ghost lies down upon the body of the sleeper, rendering them unable to move. People refer to this as a subirse el muerto, which is a dead person on you. And in Brazil, there's a legend about a mythological being called the Pisadeira, she who sleeps. She is described as a tall, skinny old woman with long, dirty nails in dried toes, white tangled hair, a long nose, staring red eyes, and greenish teeth. She lives over the roofs, waiting to step on the chest of those who sleep with a full stomach. Oh, what a twist.
That's an interesting little tidbit of go to sleep hungry.
Yes. So that's our trip around the world. We've made it back in our hot air balloon now. And now it's time for my favorite part, which is encounters. User Coast Guardman comments this. It happened to me twice. The last time I was home on leave and asleep in my old bed. I woke up suddenly. I'm a light sleeper, knowing full well that somebody or something was behind me. I was sleeping on my right side and it wanted to do me harm. I tried to shout out but couldn't. I tried to turn over but couldn't. I had the worst sense of dread that I never experienced ever during hurricanes and major ship fires. I got mad since if whatever was behind me wanted to kill me, I wanted to face it and not wanting it to harm or kill me with my back turned. I forced myself as hard as I could to turn and suddenly I could. Nothing was there. That was over 50 years ago, and I can still remember the dread and the need to meet my executioner as a man. The Hagues are bad.
But they didn't execute him.
No.
They're not that bad.
User Process Creative 5306. I had an episode of sleep paralysis. I had been sleeping on my stomach. I woke to hear my roommate in the room and my boyfriend at the window calling me. I heard the witch laughing / screaming. I was wide awake but could not move. I said the name of Jesus, leave me alone, several times. That was my first and last time ever experiencing this. I have seen a witch during a patrol at my job. She disappeared as fast as she appeared. I watched her. She never attempted to advance towards me, nor did she speak or scream at me or near me. I think the other things kept her from coming near me. I have seen other things, and I had a dream that this witch lives in a mountain, and feeding off the fear of others helps her. That was a weird one. User Livid Vanilla 6227. Various types of hags from around the world appear during sleep paralysis. I had my first sleep paralysis happen to me when I was 19. I was sleeping in my grandma's living room on an air mattress. I couldn't move, but I could hear something take the screen door off the window behind me, then open the window and climb inside.
Oh, interesting. This is a little more.
Yeah, it got behind me so close I could feel its breath on the back of my neck. I tried to scream but couldn't. There was a noise from somewhere else in the house and the creature quickly left and shut the window behind it. When it was lights out, I noticed the screen door from the window was off and lying on the ground outside. Researching this years later, it looks like it might have been a boo hag, a hag that looks and acts like a normal person but takes off its skin before feeding on sleeping victims at night. What?
Interesting.
Yeah, hold on. Let me highlight that too. I'm finding a few things that I have to go back to in this episode.
It's interesting you never hear obituaries where they say like they passed peacefully in the night and were also partially consumed.
Yeah. No, I'm not reading obituaries, so
that's fair. That's a fair point. I don't read them as much as I should, I guess.
Can you imagine if like somebody, like knock on wood, I have to preface this with my statement with that, like somebody at work or like someone like basic acquaintance knows like passes away and you read the eulogy, or is that what it's called?
Obituary
and it's like died in their sleep and they were found half eaten. Would you be like, what the fuck, Jim? What was going on in your life?
Yeah, I can't say I would know how I would react to that.
No, I can't say so either. Never happened yet, so user deleted. Never experienced the old hag, but 3 nights ago I did experience sleep paralysis, but instead of the old hag, it was a young 4-year-old girl. Oh, this one was weird. I dreamt she walked into my room asking for help, and I got up to help her. Next thing I knew, how did he know she was 4? Next thing I knew, I was face down, suspended over the staircase, floating, and the little girl was below me, holding my hands, laughing hysterically. At that point, I was awake. My eyes weren't open, but I could move my body. I tried to shake myself out of it and couldn't. I cut my palms from my nails because my hands were clenched so tight as if I was holding a child's hand and I couldn't breathe. I was like it for what felt like hours. If it wasn't for my cat having sensed something was wrong and jumping on my face, I didn't know how long I would have stayed in that state for. The most terrifying thing to ever happen in my life.
She was floating in the middle of the stairs and the cat jumped on her, or she woke back up in her bed with the
cat. It sounds like it was an out-of-body experience.
Yeah. Yeah, that was like, that's distinctly different than most old hags because she still had control over her body.
Yeah. I think if I ever experienced it again or experienced the old hag, I would probably never sleep alone again. I don't know that I would necessarily say that's the old hag. It sounds like a weird one, though, which got left in for some reason. User Hunt Guy, I was sleeping on my back, which I never knew. Something I found funny about the Reddit encounters is a lot of them stated how they were sleeping.
Yeah, that's, I find that really odd. Like they're,
I know.
You know, it's almost like they're attributing it to the way they fell asleep that time.
Yeah, it does seem like that, doesn't it?
Which I guess if it's truly a traumatic experience, you're gonna try to prevent it, and maybe you're just grasping at straws.
Anything
as to, what it
to make it not happen again. Yeah.
No, and sorry, actually, to draw it back, did that way of like killing the old hag, did it not specifically say you had to fall asleep on your back?
Yes, but I think that was more related to sleeping with
having
the
nails on your
to be
board.
Able to
yeah.
kill her.
Yeah. But at the same time, you could put that on your back, and I'm wondering if it is, she'll be summoned because, like, she sits on your chest.
Oh, yeah, good point. It was not that
But somebody
specific.
Said they slept
would
on their stomach.
It would have to be all hearsay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, they did. You're not safe, just in general. I was sleeping on my back, which I never do, and I remember punching in a dream state with my arm slightly before it happened, like, 5 to 6 times really fast, and I don't know why. What? I hope it makes sense the more I read. And moments later, I remember opening my eyes and seeing the shadow of a tall entity with a white shawl or throw over or something that draped to the floor. And all I could see was a small dark shadow where the head would be. I knew it was sleep paralysis and I heard one person say he just concentrated all his will to move his arm, so I tried that, and I remember just staring at my arm trying to get it to move, but it wouldn't, which kind of panicked me more. I've never felt the sensation of being completely paralyzed, not to mention with a dark figure looming over me. The entity walked around the side of the bed and out of my sight, and then I started to panic. My breathing sped up to a super rapid pace with a short, shallow breath, and I'm assuming this is where my heart rate peaked. I knew none of it was real, but it was still scary as shit. I just closed my eyes and tried to relax, tried to remind myself that what was going on, my mind waking up before my body. A few moments later, it was all over, albeit a little difficult to get back to sleep. And I'm going to end the episode on this Reddit user because that I think it will be a good talking point to let us just, you know, say what we each think is going on. This is user deleted, and she says, it could be a moth person. When I was working as a firefighter and sleeping strange hours, I would get sleep paralysis on occasion. I know the belief is that the dreaming brain is just integrating real-world events we see with our open eyes with this creative dream world. I found it amazing that the brain could generate these horrible images in real time so convincingly. It also gave me much more compassion for people having psychotic breaks and understanding how real hallucinations could seem. The brain is insanely powerful in convincing us of the reality we are in. The events I experienced were also so similar to the reported sleep paralysis events that I wondered why the sleep paralysis is nearly always the same even between strangers, even in different times and cultures. Is it some kind of programming bug of the human brain? Maybe we're all seeing something our brain normally filters out, and it's terrifying. I've never heard of people having sleep paralysis that is like our normal dream state where we end up in a classroom with no pants on, being given a test we didn't study for, or any other stock normal dream we can experience. It's always some negative intended being creeping up on us, aware of our terror and enjoying it. I've never had or even read about a sleep paralysis episode that is funny or entertaining as dreams can be. Our brains filter out the bulk of the data it is provided from moment to moment. Science confirms this. Are the beings we see or feel in sleep paralysis episodes just part of that deleted information? Some terrifying thing that can't directly affect us, so our brains just filter them out nearly all the time, except for those odd mixed consciousness states. I don't know. I do know that simply by never sleeping on my back, I stopped having sleep paralysis. It's strange, but that stopped. And
interesting. Yeah, they all seem to mention it.
So yeah, I think that's a really good talking point. And that's why I said I'll circle back to it, that I think that there's something more going on than what science is saying. Because there are people that have regular sleep paralysis episodes and don't see anything. They do still, from what I understand about sleep paralysis, they do still feel the fear, because of course you can't move. So panic obviously sets in because you don't know what's going on. However, user deleted brings up a good point, because they say your brain's still dreaming, but why is it so uniform that they call it the old Hague? I've never seen or encountered any entities like this in my dreams. Knock on wood, I better not ever, for the most part, right? And then all of a sudden, it's just a uniform thing that's happening where people are experiencing entities that are in the room with them, and they say that it's as real as, you know, being awake. They just can't move. Like, they're in the room, the exact room. I don't know about you, but I don't dream like that. I don't dream about waking up in the exact room that I'm sleeping on, because it's dream logic. And, like, nothing ever makes sense. I'm never dreaming of the exact room I'm sleeping on where it feels like I've woken up.
Really? I've had lots of those where it feels like it's the same room. Yeah, it's just there's other things about it once the dream keeps going that make it very clear you're not in the same room. Like, just last night I had a dream. It was really weird. It was just, I could not remember where I parked my car. It was a terrible experience.
You dream about regular world things, but it's such, like, dreams are ridiculous. They always have dream logic. It's not like...
Yeah.
It's not just me waking up and being like in the same exact room feeling like it's... I do feel dreams are real. I'm also a little bit different of a dreamer because I sleepwalk. So I literally will wake up, see what's going on around me, but I'm dreaming and I will interact. So maybe I'm not the one to be talking. But if we're talking in the sense of that, then yes, like I wake up and I'm in the room dreaming with it around me and I'm interacting with it. But yeah, I think it's so funny, not funny, terrifying, that this is a creature that just seems to be uniform all over the world. So I personally think that it's something else.
Yeah, or I wonder if it's just a deep-seated thing that, like, it's part of all human experience and not a cultural-based thing. It's kind of like pretty much every culture, whether or not you've interacted with other cultures, everybody seems to be scared of spiders. Like, it's just a universal thing because it's a required trait to survive.
Snakes, yeah.
Yeah, certain things like that. And I'm wondering if it's just one of those deep-seated human psyche things that's necessary to survive and there's a fear in there. But it's an old lady or an old medicine person,
yeah,
for the most part. So that doesn't make sense, but dreams also don't make sense.
No, they don't.
Yeah, it's truly bizarre.
And I guess it would be an instinct, right?
Yeah, and in any event, it's clear that we universally are scared of old ladies.
Oh, yeah.
Can't trust them.
Fuck them. You gotta swear at them.
Yeah, you guys.
And if you learn nothing
from this podcast,
this episode,
two things, yeah. Sleep on your stomach, swear at old ladies.
Oh, yeah. You gotta.
That's just how it goes. Yeah. And I think that's a perfect spot to end off. I have been Taylor, here with Chelsea. We are Journey to the Fringe. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Journey to the Fringe. If you have liked what you have listened to, please like, share, subscribe, or follow, depending on what venue you are listening to us through. Also, please, if possible, leave a 5-star review, as that really helps us in the algorithms. Should you wish to interact with us, please check us out on your social media of choice. I bet you we are there. And if you really want to communicate with us and give us ideas for new episodes or tell us that we're wrong and terrible, either way, please send us an email at journeytothefringe@gmail.com. For now, I'll see you in the next episode.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.